if you're a regular attender here at Cross Point Church, you know we're in a sermon series entitled Built Different. And if you're a visitor today or watching online for the first time, you've just entered into the house of people that are built different. Just built different. That's why you see on the sign behind me, built. We're built different. The creator of the heavens and the earth just built us different. Built everybody different. If you're a believer today, you are built different. Let me explain to you what that means. Now, every single Sunday that I preach at this platform, I pray throughout the week, and I pray on Sunday mornings, God, tell me what you want me to say to the people after we get done worshiping. And he's always faithful to do that. This morning I got up and I didn't have anything yet. Lord, I need something for the people. Throughout the morning in my office, and I'm preparing the final touches, like for the message, and I'm, God, give me something. So I start to look to manufacture something, kind of. Like, I'm looking at my notes, and I'm going through stuff, and it's just not coming together, you know? It's just not showing up. God says, I'll give you something. I'll provide you something. I said, okay, God, but you're running out of time, right? I'm okay, though, right? Many times I've come into the worship center and didn't have it. God blesses me. I come in today and I have nothing to say. I'm not feeling like I have what God wants me to say. I come down and I'm standing and worshiping, and God, you know, where, you know, so I grab my iPad. I'm looking like, God, okay, is it there? Where is it? I'm looking at my notes. I'll give you something. Okay. You're running out of time. I look to my right, and I see somebody. I see our youth leader standing in service today. See, that doesn't mean a whole lot to you right now, but I'm going to tell you something that means a lot. On Thursday, she went into the hospital, right? They told her, we're going to induce your labor. She's pregnant, and we need to induce labor. Long story, but you know, if you're a lady here that ever had inducement of labor, you know what that's like. If you guys, you know, if you know anything, it's not pleasant, right? I've watched it. It's not pleasant. And so for over 2 days, they were doing this inducement of labor. LG, give me a wave, right? There she is, right? If you're watching online, our youth leader is waving her hand and nothing. Right? The prayers are going up to heaven. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Do we just wait on the process? Do we do C-sections? What do we do? I can't tell you what to do, but I can pray. Right? So this morning, the main doctor comes in and says, you don't need to be here. The child's not ready to be born. The child's perfectly healthy. She's not ready to be born. Why don't you go home? Just go home. No. That's not good enough for LG and her husband Noah, who now I see is in his place of ministry in the sound booth running sound today while his wife is down front. Normally she's up here, right? Normally she's up here singing or playing the drums. But see, the drums aren't occupied today. I'm shocked. That LG didn't show up behind them, right? They discharged her from the hospital a couple hours ago, told her to go home. But church, she didn't go home to stay home. She came to church today. She came to church. The things that I was praying for God to reveal, say, what do I say? What do I say? Was standing here the whole time waiting for the pastor to come into the worship center to enter in, to see what God had in store. And I didn't trust him. I didn't believe. I don't know what the case was. I walked into it. God had already prepared it, and I walked right into it. Church, we're built different. We're just built different. The believer of Jesus Christ is different today. Just different. We're just built different. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for allowing me to walk in. LG, thank you. I don't know how you did it. I'm not sure. You're down front. Your husband's in the sound booth coming into the church on a Sunday morning to do what they do all the time. And God is faithful. We're built different church. If that doesn't excite you, I got nothing this morning for you. Hallelujah. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, as I mentioned already, Lord, we want to worship and we want to listen to a message. We want to come into a house, Lord God, and change and move heaven, Lord, to move things on earth. Lord God, let something happen today. Not only what just happened, but more things. Lord God, I thank you that this church, these people watching online and in the house were built different because you supplied the power. Lord, thank you, Lord. Lord God, I pray right now that that continues throughout this service, Lord. I pray that this is a testimony. The lives of these young people are a testimony to us older folks. This is what we do. This is who we are. We're built different for a reason, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord God, thank you for allowing me to step into what you already had for us this morning. Lord God, forgive me if I didn't trust you. But I knew as you always deliver, Father. Thank you for that. Lord God, have your way with this service, Lord. Let that speak to anybody here or watching online. Lord God, we are your people, and you are our God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And all of Cross Point Church said, amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm built different today. Hallelujah.
Well, good morning, church. Good morning. How are you this morning? Hey, can I just say it? God is good.
All the time.
Amen. Amen. It's so good. Thank you, Dan. So good to sing the praises of the Lord, and so good to see each and every one of you this morning. I know there's several people joining us online, and we just always want to say thank you for joining us online as well. Welcome. If this is your first time, first, let me introduce myself. My name is Pastor Mike. And I have the privilege of serving here as one of the associate pastors. And I just want to greet and welcome you this morning. And again, if this is your first time, we want to bless you. We want to connect with you. We want to get to know you better. And one of the easiest ways is to do that is if you just take your phone out, you can open up your camera phone and just take a little picture of that QR code. It's right in front of you as you sit here in the pews. If you grabbed a bulletin, it's on there as well. It's our connection QR code. That'll take you right to a little digital text link. It's just a simple, easy, I promise you it's easy, way to connect with you. And it'll give you the option to kind of respond back and forth with us. But we want to just say welcome. We want to bless you as well. If this is your first time, that's the best way. But we also want to gift you with something. So if you take that, if you're in the house this morning, you just take your phone, go out to our VIP center. It's just out here in our foyer. In our lobby area, and just show them that you've accessed that, you're in the process of doing that, and they're going to give you a little gift box. It's just something that we put together with just a few things, information about the church, ministries, and things, as well as just a little Chick-fil-A gift card, just to bless and to say thank you for being here. We always say it this way, if you're looking for a church home, we would say prayerfully consider making Cross Point your church home. Amen. Amen. Well, it's so good to have everybody this morning. I just wanted to bring you up to date on a few things. We are, we're taking a break for the rest of the summer, but we are heading, and I'm just going to apologize right now by saying this. We are heading into fall very quickly. We're going to have some special prayer time for all of you who cheered for that after service, so... No, I'm only kidding. Hey, we've been in a kind of a relax and refresh a rest in this last few weeks, and we're going to continue that. But coming up September 10th, for all of you, mark your calendar, September 10th. That will be our relaunch for our Journey Night ministry. It's our midweek ministry night, what you typically think of our family night. It's all of the ministries that we have typically meet on a Wednesday night. We are relaunching September 10th, and I just want to just encourage you to be watchful and anticipating because there's some new things coming, so stay tuned. We are finishing up, we're kind of buttoning up all those things, And we're excited for what God is going to do as we, because how many love Journey Night? It's been a real fun blessing. It's going to look different this year, but we're excited for that. So we would encourage you, be looking for those changes. So, and I know that parents will cheer for this. Kids may not, but how many know that this week probably is the week where a lot of kids go back to school? And all the parents said, amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, right? So, but we want to be in prayer. I would encourage you to be in prayer in the next few days. This week typically is the start of school year around this area. I have friends from all over the country, and they're posting pictures of their kids. They've already started like a week and a half ago, and I'm like, oh, no, thank you. What is that all about? But we want to be in prayer for not only our students, our kids, our teachers, our schools, God's provision and protection over them and blessing in their lives. And so one of the things that we have an opportunity, and this is so exciting, we want to announce that we have adopted, here at Cross Point, we've adopted a dorm floor over here at Malone, and it's Havland. The dorm is called Havland First, which is the first floor dorm rooms for, it's a girls' dorm, and ironically, it's our beloved Jody Belade. She's the RA of that floor, and we have an opportunity to bless. There's 24 students on that floor that we get to bless and to come alongside to minister to throughout the semester and throughout the year. And so, again, we would love for you to participate in that. Well, what does that mean? Well, there's a little QR code on your bulletin. If you grabbed a bulletin, if you didn't, if you exit out of the worship center today, just grab one. There's a little QR code. If you want to participate and just being a blessing, well, what does that mean? It could mean a lot of different things. It could be, I'm going to bake some cookies. I'm going to write cards. I'm going to go over and visit. I'm going to lead a Bible study. That could be a lot of different things that we are able to participate in blessing and walking in the journey of faith with students coming in from all over onto Malone's campus. This is a floor primarily of freshmen, I believe. So we're excited for that. So again, if you want to be a participant of that and participate, I would encourage you, get a hold of us, scan that QR code. Last thing is ladies' time apart. That's our ladies, our Ohio Ministry Network's women's conference. That's coming up just here in the next almost about a month out, really. And so we're excited for that. If you want to participate, ladies, it's a fantastic conference. I know my wife has said such good things about it. So I would encourage you, early bird registration is August 22nd. Get your name in, get registered, and the conference is September 26th through the 27th. So ladies, I would encourage you, be a part of that. You will be blessed. You will not just be disappointed. So I think that's all I got. Cross Point, I love you. So good to see everybody. Let's continue in praise and worship in that way.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mike. You know, we're so blessed here, as he mentioned. I met somebody this morning that was a visitor and asked how many pastors we have around here, and I said a lot. And we love our pastors, right? We love God, and we love LG, who leads our youth. We have myself, lead pastor, Brad Myers, my wife. Give us a wave there. There, she's a worship pastor here, and Pastor Mike is our associate, and his lovely wife over here, Christine, who plays the keyboard. She's waving. She's shy, right? Pastor Amber is leading the kids today. LG leads our youth. LG's already getting, we've already given a testimony about her and her husband, Noah. They are missionaries from Africa, from Haiti up to here to this church, right? And Jody, who Pastor Mike just mentioned, is her younger sister, another missionary from Haiti, up to the United States. Pardon me? Oh, that's right. That's right. She's the older sister. The pastor's so old. All right. The older sister who came just right behind you from Haiti up to, that's right. And now, if you remember, LG used to serve over at Malone. She graduated Malone, and we adopted her, right? So we've adopted LG. We adopted Noah. We're adopting their child that's going to be born here on Tuesday morning at 8:30. So, prophetically, right? So, and now Jody is doing exactly what LG did. Now she's going to be the RA of this floor. So we've adopted the floor over at Malone, this Pastor Mike talked about. And we're going to bless those kids. And they come back to campus, what, this Wednesday, right? And we're going to bless them. And we're praying that that whole dorm floor shows up at Cross Point Church. And they're blessed. And And then, so if she's, Jody is following in her younger sister's footsteps, right? So she's RA of the floor, that's what LG did, right? And then LG got graduated, she'll graduate, you know, and then LG got married, right? And then LG got pregnant. Wait, Jody just ran out the back, right? Welcome to Crosspoint Church. Are you ready for the message today, what God has in store for us? Thank you. Thank you for coming in the house at Crosspoint. Thank you so many people who are joining us online. We are blessed to have many campuses that we broadcast to. Thank you so much on the Facebook side, the online campus at cpoint.church. Let's see, YouTube. I know I'm going to leave things out. We do a weekly podcast. We do a daily devotional based on the message on a Sunday. You need a Church Center app to follow along with that. You can do all that with the Church Center app. We have an app for that here at this church. We are in a series called Built Different. I'm so thankful God just built me different. I am built different. I appreciate that. So church, let's dive right in. I want you to recite after me, which we've been doing for the last few weeks. Recite after your pastor. I am not common. I am chosen. I am not random. I am redeemed. God formed me. God knows me. God calls me to stand out. I am built different. Give him praise today, church. Hallelujah. Built different. Different doesn't have to mean you're weird, right? The Bible says you're different, but you're not weird. And last week we talked about standing out. We are called to stand out. You know, believers were never meant to fit in. We were called to stand out. We were called by heaven, by the Bible, to be different. We're chosen. We're not an afterthought. You are not an afterthought. God selected you. Say, I'm selected. You are selected today. What you do with that selection is kind of up to you, but God has you as his special possession. He purchased you. That's what it means. When you say possession in the Bible, it means I purchased you, which means by the blood of my son, you've been bought. You've been bought. Bought and paid for. Just think about going in any store that you go into, or if you're like me, you do all the shopping online. Somebody say online. Love that online thing, right? I'm done. My wife's still at the mall. Right? I'm done, right? Right? If you walked into every store and they said you didn't have to pay anything, no credit card, no cash, no nothing, just take it and go. You are God's special possession today, church. God didn't just create you, right? He crafted you. We talked about last week. He crafted you. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. I taught you that your DNA is God's fingerprint on your life. Remember what we talked about? That DNA is really special because you got the only DNA that you got. Nobody else has the same DNA. God made it special to you. We talked about your divine identity that God places in you, and that relationship with Jesus Christ, that divine identity, creates a divine opportunity for you. But you got to have the identity part settled. That's your relationship with Jesus before God's going to give you the activity part, which is the opportunity. And many people struggle with the identity part, the relationship, and so God kind of holds back on that opportunity. I can't give you all this stuff, all this activity, because you got to get this down right. And a lot of us work on that, right? We talked about you're a masterpiece on a mission. God's handiwork. In the Greek, that's pioma, which means you are just a work of art from heaven. You're a work of art. Just a work of art. God invites everybody to be part of his family. Everybody. God sets the table. He opens the door. He makes the way. But he'll never force the choice on you. He set us apart. That setting apart's an ongoing choice. Am I going to follow Jesus or not? See, God's design to be with him doesn't expire, but the opportunity to walk in something on earth could be missed because we just don't do it. We talked about that. And you were designed for more. God's got a plan. You got to step into it. You got to step into it. It's an open door into the life you are made for. Your design contains your destiny, but it requires that daily decision to continue on the path of being the believer. Right? Hallelujah. Let me tell you a story before I jump into my message. You know, this will probably set the tone. You know, I was reading something the other day. Really intrigued me. Let me share it with you. There's a small town out west. I'm reading the story online. And, you know, it's one of those towns, folks, that doesn't have a lot going on, right? You've drove by them in the Midwest or out in the West. We got them around here. Maybe there's a stoplight. Maybe there's just a stop sign. Really small little town, right? And there's a story that this little town had this stop sign at the main road, like the crossroad would come up to the main road and there's a stop sign. It's not even big enough for the light. It's just got the stop sign. The storm shows up one day and it kind of rips the stop sign to the ground. So there's no stop sign anymore. And all of a sudden the cars would come up to it and they would slow down, but they would keep going. A few weeks would go by and they didn't even slow down anymore. They just kept going. And as the weeks passed, the people just kept driving right through what used to be the stop sign, but no longer exists because a storm ripped it down and it was blown off somewhere. You know, early the story said that people could see the stop sign laying on the ground, but all of a sudden one day it's just gone. Not only is it not laying on the ground, it's nowhere to be found. And people would come up to the stop sign and they wouldn't even slow down anymore. Why? No stop sign. No one's questioning where the stop sign went. And all of a sudden, as you would imagine, there's a major accident. Because a car comes up there and goes right through because the stop sign's not there anymore. They only slow down, and boom, there's a major accident, and somebody almost dies. They did not, but the accident was bad. And so the townspeople start asking the question, where's the stop sign? Now they ask the question, right? After the accident. And they can't figure it out because they can't find it. You know, it's hanging in somebody's garage somewhere, right? Right? But it's not there. It's not erected. It's not, you can't see it, right? It's nowhere to be found. So they start going back to the city records, the laws of that small little township, looking. And there it is, stop sign at this road. It was supposed to be there. The law says it's supposed to be there, but it's not. It's gone. You notice that people don't obey it anymore because they don't see it. The stop sign doesn't exist. It's not in plain sight. And when they stop seeing it, they stopped obeying it. Now, isn't that like us today? Right? In our world, God's moral lines are still written in God's word. But society has knocked some of those signs over. And when we stop seeing them, we stop obeying them. Today, church, I'm going to speak a message called Blurred Lines. You've seen the Facebook posts and all the things throughout social media, and many of the people online have probably saw that and they joined in today. Some of you maybe are here today in the house that maybe you weren't normally going to be here just to hear a message about blurred lines. Our society has some blurred lines. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it's a practical message, but it's going to do three things to all of you. Now, some of you are going to be challenged. Some of you are going to be convicted. Some of you may be offended. And I'm sorry about that. But I preach where God lays on my heart to preach. It's just the way it is. Right? God tells me to go a direction, and I'm going to go. And that's kind of the way it is today. You'll be challenged, convicted, or maybe offended, but that will determine before you leave where you stand. And that's what we want to do. Let us dive right in. Church, we don't just live in a confused culture. We live in a culture committed to confusion. You're living in a culture that's absolutely committed to being confused. You know, years ago when I grew up, I heard this phrase, that's just the facts. And when you heard that, you kind of knew that that's what the facts were. But today, when you hear that's just the facts, that's not the facts, that's opinion. So opinion and facts now are kind of like getting interchanged. And you really don't know what is factual and what is opinion. Right? You see something on the news? I don't know. Years ago, this website came out. I don't know if you know about this, but it's called Snoops, right? It was supposed to be the fact-checking websites. Like, you could go to Snoops and say, is this accurate or not? That's not even good anymore, right? And you really don't know. What do you have, right? So people are kind of out in the ocean without a sail, kind of like drifting. What's factual and what's opinion, right? We just really don't know sometimes. See, God didn't build his people to blend in with the confusion, though. He built us to discern, declare, and demonstrate truth. God intentionally designed you to disrupt the world system. Your very life should be a spirit-powered contradiction to an upside-down, inside-out world. You were built different to disrupt. Society is confused. Society is confused. What was once shameful is now celebrated, and what was once honored is now mocked. Let me give you some examples. Now, here comes the offending part, right? There are so many examples. I'm Googling examples, right? I'm on my computer. I'm preparing. You know, Lord, what should I say? And I'm looking for examples of how we're blurring the lines, the facts, the opinions, and all this. And Lord, what do you, you know, and there's so many I had to pick. So I picked a couple, three of them. Hold on. The first one I picked was gender. And the reason I picked gender that's blurred lines today is because I was watching somebody a while back online. And he made this comment. If the preacher on a Sunday morning can't speak the truth of the Bible, where are you going to get the facts? Well, okay, Pastor Mike, we put those in our notes, right, for the future, right? So I put that in my notes. The blurred line when it comes to gender, there's a growing trend of people redefining gender based on personal feelings rather than biological reality. 40% of Americans today believe that it should be legally acceptable for anybody to select their gender. Now, it doesn't mean they agree with it. It just means they think, it's okay, I don't care. You can do whatever you want to do. Right? Select. 40%, almost half, think that you could select gender. 60% of people between the ages of 18 and 29 say it's morally acceptable to self-identify your own gender. The number is much higher with the younger generation, right? It's morally acceptable. So here we have these facts and we have, you know, opinions, and they're getting all kind of confused. So the only place that I have that gives me the facts is God's word, right? I go to God's word, right? That's exactly what to do. And those kind of statements contradicts his word. Let me give you the blurred line to the fact. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created the male and female. He created them. Now, in the Hebrew, folks, you know, we read that scripture, but in the Hebrew, the image of God means something. It means you'll get the divine nature of God in his image. And then it says you'll get his nature as a female and a male. God's image, his divine nature will be in a male and a female. Okay? In the man, God puts strength, leadership, and provision. Okay? In the female, God puts a nurturing nature, a relational nature, and a life-giving nature. LG, say amen. Amen, right? I'm going to give you some inspiration. I'm going to give you some facts. Guys, you can't have a baby. You can try all you want. You can pretend, but you can't do it. Biologically, you cannot do it. You need a woman. Ladies, you can't have a baby without a guy. Amen, right? You could try. You try to figure something out, but you're not going to be able to do it. Somewhere, the DNA of a man has to show up. You may not like that, but the fact is the fact. And the nature of God shows up in man, shows up in woman, and they have to go together. They go together to give you the full divine nature of God. They come together to display the fullness of God's nature. That fullness of God's nature then comes together to man and woman to form how the world sees God. And the blurred line is just what the enemy wants it to be. If you're blurring the gender, you're blurring the perception of God to the world. That's why it says the image of God in God's word, because it's Hebrew for male and female coming together. God's divine nature showing up on earth. Later, the Bible then takes that divine nature and creates a marriage between a male and a female. And then God blesses it, as you know scripture, most of you probably, to procreate. Church, those are the facts. Right? Now, you could dispute them and say there's no way that's accurate. Then you're going to have to show me how you get babies from men, among other things. Those are the facts. And God blessed that foundation called marriage and placed it in society. Today, society's definition of gender is often fluid, self-determined, and detached from biological sex. It's shaped more by personal perspective and cultural shifts than by the Creator. Why does that matter, Pastor? Because it moves personal identity from being rooted in God's design to relying on individual feelings. And individual feelings are wrong at times, right? Let me give you another example. Marriage and family. We're talking about gender. Let's just jump to marriage and family, right? We got a young couple here looking for their first child, right? Tuesday morning at 8:30. Just telling you, right? The blurred line is normalizing of living together. Long term. Now, when I grew up, I knew people that lived together. I know people now that live together for a short time. You know, it's no thing. I mean, I'm not going to say I agree with it. I'm just saying I remember, right? And then they would do what everybody did. They got married. Sometimes they lived together for a few weeks, a few days, or a few months, and then they got married. That's not the way it is today, folks. Hold on. Here's the blurred line. They're not getting married any longer like they used to, right? Today, 1 in 11 couples that live together without marriage stay there. 10% almost. And if they have children, it goes to 1 in 9. So if they have kids in the home, we don't need to get married. I know, and I hang out with one of those guys to speak life to them. And I tell them all the time, gotta get married. I don't need to be. I mean, he's my textbook example of the blurred line. No reason to get married, right? The age range of 18 to 44, living together is more familiar to them. Now, when I say living together, cohabitation, I'm talking about long-term. Long-term, right? They don't need to get married. They don't believe. They think that age bracket of the 18 to 44 people know more about living together than they do the concept of marriage. It's more familiar to them than it is marriage. Now, that's kind of crazy to me. Why does that matter, Pastor? Because it reshapes the marriage covenant into a contract. It transitions from holiness to convenience. It replaces the permanent nature of marriage to just a preference. I'll just do it. I'll stay today, I'll go on tomorrow. Marriage was instituted by God as a symbol of Christ as the bridegroom and the church as the bride. When culture redefines that, the gospel image gets distorted. The Bible even says in Revelation that there'll be a marriage supper of the Lamb. It's not on the screen behind me, but there's going to be a marriage supper. And the Bible says it's going to be between the bridegroom and the bride. They're going to come together and celebrate. Those that didn't get their lines blurred, didn't cross the line, they're going to come together in heaven and they'll have a big celebration, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb. It doesn't say the living together. It says the marriage. Co-joining. The two shall be. Thank you. What about this one? Hold on. What about this example of blurred lines? Privacy and oversharing. Oh, you betcha. Right? I just picked three. Don't be offended on the. I just picked three. You know I'm right about these. It's just out there, right? They're blurred lines. Here's a blurred line and oversharing and privacy, right? Every boundary between the private and the public life is collapsing. Relationships, faith, trauma, it's being turned into a spectacle on social media. I'm seeing things today I thought I would never see. I'm seeing families post pictures of their loved ones in the hospital. In a traumatic situation. Oh, it's okay. It wasn't meant to be there, folks. It's oversharing of private things. Why does it matter? Sacred things are now viral. Hear that word? If I hear that word one more time, I'll scream. Discernment gets replaced by displays. We become performers of faith instead of worshipers of God. Here's the thing I hear. How many followers do you have? I only want followers of Jesus. Don't look at me. If looking at me points them to Jesus, I'm okay. If a million people want to follow me on social media because it gets them to Jesus, great. If they want to follow Pastor Brad just for me, I don't need it. I don't need followers. I need disciples of Jesus. That's what I need. Right? We need disciples of Jesus. Many truths were meant for the altar, not for Facebook. When faith becomes content, the creator gets reduced to a clip. See, those are all blurred line examples, church. I'm just giving you, there are so many more. But Jesus built you different. Challenged, convicted, or offended, you decide, right? Now, I get my facts from God's word. And you can challenge that anytime you want. And you can follow along with my sermon on the sermon notes on the Church Center app today, and you can see exactly where I'm headed. Why is this all going on, Pastor? And I'm going to tell you a couple of things of why it's going on. There's a moral shift in culture today, the DNA of your society, my society. The definition of right and wrong shifts with trends, not truth. Evil is rebranded as progress, while holiness is mocked as hate. That's what's going on, right? It's all blurry. I told you it was blurred lines when we started. Let's jump to Isaiah as he prophetically warned us many, many years ago, roughly 8th century BC. Isaiah 5:20, he says, listen, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Now, Isaiah is prophetically speaking to Judah. What, 2 centuries or so, give or take, before Jeremiah shows up, right? Help me. So he's talking about Judah. Now, back then, Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, is pretty strong, and they're doing right, but they're drifting. What's going on? Lines are getting blurred in their society. He comes along and says, whoa, wait a second. And the Bible shows up, and he speaks 6 woes. Woes. Woe this, woe that, right? This is what's going on. And this is one of them, okay? This is what's going on. So he says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. He could be speaking to us today, right? He prophetically does, church. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweetened and sweet for bitter. He's speaking to Judah. and he's prophetically speaking to you and I. Whoa! Those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It's the pinnacle of his six woes. This is how bad it's gotten in our society, folks. He's speaking to Judah, and this is how bad it's gotten today, right? It's bad. We're blurring the lines of fact and opinion. Isaiah 5:20, it's not just talking about sinning. It's talking about twisting the moral categories in society. You don't see it. Because the stop sign fell down, there's no one saying stop. The sign's been down for weeks, and because the sign's been down for weeks, no one's speaking about the stop sign, so we're just not going to obey it anymore. We're just going to go through. And that's what's going on, and that's what he's talking about. And he's trying to get the message out. And when I read weeks ago, this guy saying on social media, it was an interview, the pastors need to be preaching about this. They need to be speaking about this. They need to be, if the pastor can't do it, then who will? It like took a knife right into me, folks. Let that not be this pastor. So Isaiah is prophetically saying, this is what's going on in your society. So why are the lines blurred? There's a moral shift, as you see. And then there's this thing called church compromise shows up. Oh, don't say that, Pastor. Yeah. Church compromise. People in the church. The lines between holy and unholy get blurred when the acceptance of people replace the fear of God. They're more worried about if people are going to accept them than they are fearing the God of the Bible. Why? Because they spend more time with the people than they do than the God of the Bible, right? They're hanging out, the wrong crowd, right? Just to rub it off, the stop sign goes down, and they just keep barreling through the intersection. Whoa, challenged, convicted, or offended, right? Wow, pastor's on it today, right? Yeah, there's compromise in the church. So what's the role of the church then? Right? Paul starts to write about it to Timothy, his protege. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's house. He's teaching today, right? Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Paul's starting to write this letter, and he's telling, this is what it looks like. And he writes the scripture right after he explains the qualifications for pastor, deacons, and elders. You've got to have these qualifications in that church to serve in those positions. The same qualifications this church believes in for both elders, deacons, we call them deacons here, right, and pastors. If you're not above reproach, if you don't have these qualifications, you can't serve. And so the oversight to this ordained pastor is the Ohio Ministry Network and the General Council of the Assemblies of God. The same for Pastor Mike and Christine, right? And anyone else who's credentialed. They watch us. They keep an eye on us. We toe the line. We're not going to blur the lines. Pastors, raise your hands and tell me, is that not right, right? You're going to do the right thing. And the right thing is the Bible, right? But what about the people sitting in church? That's the pastor's responsibility. And Paul says, listen, this is what it looks like. He gives instruction to Timothy for the church. And in these verses, he makes this comment, the pillar and foundation of the truth. When the church is no longer the pillar and foundation of truth, people in society have no place to turn for facts. So opinion dominates. And then if people in the church are no longer pillars and foundations of truth, the people that are not pillars and foundations of truth have nowhere to turn, nowhere to go for advice. Right? That's what he's talking about, folks. And this series, Built Different, is talking about standing out. Being different, because you're called to be different. The Bible says you're an alien. Wow. Somebody say, I'm an alien. I'm an alien. Lord, thank you for making me an alien. Now, I know I'm the funniest looking alien, right, that you will ever see. I get that. I'm all right with that. God gave hair to some aliens and some he didn't. It is what it is. Blessed be the name of the Lord, right? Right? Seriously, right? Man, I just want to make a comment. I had hair, right? Thank you, dear. She was going to say yes regardless of what, right? She's going to say yes. When the pastor looks down at the wife, she, yes, pastor, right? On a Sunday morning. We're built different. How do we stand out, right? How do we stand out? Here we go. God builds his people to see clearly, stand firmly, and speak boldly in a culture that's morally upside down. Hold on. Buckle your seatbelts. What do we do to stand out? This is what the series is about. We're built different. We're called to stand out. We're called to be different. But we got to see clearly, church. I don't think we're seeing as clearly as we used to see. We got to see clearly. Hold on. Watch what happens. We got to see clearly. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But people, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, who aren't spiritual can't receive the truth from God's Spirit. Right? They're not spiritual. You are. So they're not. He's saying, listen. It all sounds foolish to them. They don't understand it. And they can't understand. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. You can't expect people to understand what you're saying if you're a believer to someone who's not a believer. When you got the Spirit involved, they don't understand. It's just kind of foolish gibberish to them. They don't get it. Right? Now, Corinth is that city, South Greece, that's just kind of full of what we call worldly obsessions. Just like Canton, Ohio, right? They're just filled with worldly obsessions. They're obsessed with worldly things, right? All kinds of stuff going on. They got the thing they call worldly wisdom, which is human wisdom. So Paul starts writing saying, listen, there's this thing called human wisdom, the words you're speaking. You think they're really wise just because you're speaking words. But then I come along with spiritual wisdom, God things, Jesus things. And here's the battle. We got human wisdom, bunch of words, which is what we have today. And we've got spiritual wisdom, you and I, the believer. We come with a different perspective, a different angle. It's not my words, it's heaven's words, right? Yeah, see, you're getting it, right? And so he's writing about this. He could be writing to you today. It could be Canton, 1 Canton, right? That's the scripture. It says 1 Corinthians. He's writing to the Corinthian people in Corinth, right, that city. But he could be writing just to you and I. So he starts talking about human wisdom and spiritual wisdom. He starts talking about the differences between the two. That human wisdom that that city has, Canton, Ohio, is just a bunch of people talking, a bunch of opinions. But you put some weight behind it and you get yourself saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now you have spiritual wisdom. And it doesn't come from you, folks. It comes from heaven. And it's different. And that's what he's writing about. Right? See, the unbeliever, they'll reject that because they don't have the ability to discern it and understand it. So when we start talking about all these crazy things to them, they just don't get it. That's why we just want to speak Jesus to them. Teach them about Jesus, the salvation power of God, right? People try to interpret everything and start talking in the city back then and today and all these conversations and all the things around the coffee table and around our homes and whatnot when we really just need to talk to the unbelievers and say, hey, I know this Jesus and this Jesus changed my life. This changed me. I wasn't so good, but Jesus changed me, right? He changed me. Then Satan shows up and distorts the perception of the people. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So not only have they got a lot of human wisdom going on, Satan shows up and says, I'm going to put the blinders on you. You're never going to get it. I'm going to hold you back. Why? because Satan's afraid of spiritual wisdom that Paul is writing about. I'm going to give you something that you don't have. I'm going to give you some facts that you don't understand. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you accept him, and he's going to give you something that you don't have. You're going to go from this human wisdom, which is words, to some spiritual wisdom that's facts. You're going to go from your opinion to facts. And you'll understand them as facts when it happens, because the Spirit will reveal that to you. How many are there with me today? Because that's what happened to me, right? I got it, but I had to make a faith statement first. I had to decide that I believe this. I'm just going to take it, say, God, I trust you. I trust Jesus. I'm just going to say, okay, I believe it. I'm going to take that step of faith and accept Christ as personal Lord and Savior. And as soon as I did that, my eyes were opened. Why? Because Satan couldn't blind me anymore. Why? Because he didn't have authority over me any longer. But you can't get there till you make the choice to be set apart, which is what I preached about last week. Once you get that choice and you do it and you step out and you accept Christ as Savior, the scales come off. Satan has no dominion over you any longer. And the spiritual wisdom that comes from heaven shows up in your life. There's what Paul's writing about. I got something for you. I got some facts for you. We need to see clearly, church. We also need to stand firmly. We've become afraid to stand firmly. We've become afraid to stand firmly for what we believe. Why? Because the acceptance of the people is more important or concerns us more than the fear of God. So we're not as firm as we used to be. I don't know. I grew up and I heard it all the time. My mom was beating me over the head with it, right? Right? I mean, I'm serious. I'm just a little kid. My mom's just pounding Jesus all the time. I got it. You can't have it. You're only 7. You need more of it. My mom drugged me down to that altar when I was 9 years old, right? She was concerned. Stand firm. Colossians 1:23, Paul writes, "But you must continue to believe the truth and stand firm in it." Now, his audience is the people in Colossae, right? That city in Asia Minor, which is now modern-day Turkey. There's a challenge there. The church is under pressure from false teachings. What? There's false teachings showing up in the church. He says, listen, you got to stand firm and believe it. You know the facts are not opinions. I have taught you well. And even though the pressure is coming on you in this house, this church, right? And in Canton, Ohio, or maybe in Cross Point Church, or in your jobs, or in your communities that you live in, even though the pressure is there, he says, listen, this is what you do. You know what to believe. Now stand in it. And don't be afraid to stand firm. Man, we need to stand firm. Somebody say stand firm. We got to stand firm. I don't care what it looks like, he says. I don't care what it looks like at work. I don't care if there's 100 people to one. Those 100 people aren't backed by the power of the Holy Spirit from heaven. You are. You are filled with the power, right? He says, continue to believe and then stand firm in it. We just need to continue to believe and stand firm, church. What about the last one? What about speak boldly? Oh, I love this one. Speak boldly. Church, we've become afraid to speak up now. You know, in society and the opinions, the things you hear, the Christian is feeling like we can't speak up like we used to speak up boldly. Now, I'm watching a lot of things online. I watch the news. You know, I'm a kind of a news junkie, and I read a lot and watch a lot, and here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing stadiums filled with people proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. I hope we're proclaiming his name when we're not in a stadium of 50,000 people, but we're in a coffee house with everybody else, and you're just the only one. It's easier to get together with 50,000 fellow believers and shout Jesus. It gets a little bit more challenging when you're with some friends and family that don't like Jesus, and you're the only one. You're the only one there because Jesus sent you on a mission into that situation, into that environment to transform and tell people about Jesus. You're not there by mistake, right? We need to speak boldly. Remember Jeremiah. He shows up a little bit later after Isaiah, right? He's prophetically speaking to Judah as well. Now, Judah's not near as solid as they were before. They're shaky, like really shaky, right? We talked about this a week or so ago. They're really shaky. God says, I'm going to send you there for, 40 years or so, and you're going to speak boldly to them and try to reach them before it's too late. Because if it's too late, I'm going to send the Babylonian Empire to come in and just take them all. And that's what ends up. But he goes and speaks boldly, and let's recite the scripture, go back to the scripture. But if I say I've never mentioned the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. See, church, if that word was burning in our hearts, we'd be speaking it all the time, right? I know people like that. There's people like that here today. They are so, it's so inside of them, they just can't hold it in. That's Jeremiah. It's like a fire in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. That's what we need today, church. We need more people like that in the house and out in the community. It's burning inside of me, Pastor. I can't hold it in. Go boldly preach it. Go do it, right? Listen to this. Silence in a time of moral confusion is agreeing with deception. If you're silent in a time of moral confusion and a bunch of blurred lines, we're kind of agreeing with that very deception because we're not speaking against it. Church, boldness is a byproduct of the Spirit. In Acts 4:31, it goes like this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with the word of God boldly. Peter and John were imprisoned for speaking about Jesus. They healed the man at the temple gate. The community is in an uproar. They throw them in prison. They're just like, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't speak boldly about this guy. This is what's going to happen to you. They didn't care. See, it was funny because they were on this mission that they didn't care what society said. They didn't care what the opinions were. They were going to speak boldly to that community no matter what. You can throw me in jail, I don't care, but I'm still going to speak boldly. Nah, that's the people we need today. So they get out, and what did they do? They started praying, but not for safety. Not to keep from being beat up, thrown in prison. They start a prayer vigil at the altar of Cross Point Church. And they started to pray for more boldness. Now you would think, church, that after being thrown in prison, that they would not be praying for more boldness to speak the very reason why they were thrown in prison. They would speak, Lord God, protect me. Keep me safe so I can speak boldly. Nah. They said, just give me the gumption inside to speak more, to go out and speak more bold. Lord God, give me more power. Give me more ability. Give me more boldness, because I'm not going to stop. That's the kind of people that we need. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what society says. I'm going to speak it anyways. I don't care what their opinions are. I'm going to speak it anyways. I don't care what they do. I'm going to speak it anyways. I don't care what how. I'm going to speak it anyways. I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and nothing's going to stop me from speaking it, right? And so they go out, and they're heading out of town. They're going to go continue to speak boldly, and God's going to show up. Mark 16:20, then the disciples went out, and they preached everywhere. The people of Cross Point Church left service on August 17th, and they preach everywhere to their communities, to their families, to their friends, to their schools, to where they work. They started to preach everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. Miracles show up because somebody decides that they're going to see clearly, stand firmly, and then go speak boldly. That's the church I want to pastor. That's the people I want to hang around with. They'll go out in the community, and they know the message is so critically important that they'll grab people, speak boldly to them, and get them into church on a Sunday morning. Get them to a device to log on a Sunday morning to join the service. And let that be the movement. And let that unblur the lines. Give them the facts that the Creator of the heavens and the earth blessed us with, right? Church, God builds his people to see clearly, stand firmly, speak boldly. In a culture that's just upside down. So I got to ask before we close today, I just wondered how many people here are willing to do that? Or how many are here willing to continue to do it, but do it more? Pastor, I speak boldly. Do it more. I'm standing firm. Do it more. I see things clearly. See them clearer. Because there's people out there that need you to see them clear, stand firm, and then speak it. So before we close, I'm going to wonder, I'm just going to ask you to bow your hearts. And I'm going to ask for a commitment between you and heaven. Pastor, I'm going to leave here today. I'm going to speak it like I've never spoken. I'm going to track people down with facts and not opinions. I'm going to get to somebody this week. I'm going to speak to them like I've never spoken to them, Pastor. I'm going to do it. Why? I'm built different. I'm built to stand out. If that is your commitment today, folks, I want to pray with you corporately. I'm not going to call you down front today, but I want to pray with you corporately. If that is you, that is your commitment this week, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Anybody else? There are hands throughout the worship center. Anybody else? If you can't raise your hand in a church and make a commitment, you certainly won't do it out in the community. I stand with you, Cross Point Church. Father God, in Jesus' name, Father, I pray for every hand that's raised, Lord God, even the ones that are not raised, Lord God, I pray that we see things more clearly, Lord. I pray, Lord God, we stand firm in what we believe, and I pray, Lord God, we go out to the community and we speak it boldly, Lord. Lord God, let the lines be unblurred, Father. Father God, let the people see clearly because we spoke boldly to them. How can we expect, God, people to see clearly if the Christian believers in Canton, Ohio, the surrounding communities don't speak boldly? We can't expect that. Lord God, I pray a supernatural covering upon each and every one of us, that blessing, Lord God, to give them the boldness that they need. To go out in the community and speak Jesus, speak life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, stand with me. We got one more thing to do. I want you, as you're standing, to recite after your pastor and be committed to this. I will not be swept away by confusion. I will walk in truth. I will speak light in the darkness. I commit to see clearly, stand firmly, speak boldly. The word of God will draw the lines in my life, and I will not move them. Give him praise today, church. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Let's go out and speak boldly and do what God's called us to do. Lord, help us today. Church, let's go out and give praise to God Almighty everywhere. God bless you. Praise.